on hipsters. My girlfriend's name is Annie. Not Anne or Annette or Anita or any other less cuddly version. Her birth certificate actually says Annie. And Annie lives in Chicago. I don't. I don't even live in Illinois. It takes me a while to get there. So whenever I arrive, I'm never in a hurry to leave. But she's a really busy girl. Annie is. She has appointments and outings every day of the week, seemingly every day of the lifetime. And usually when she leaves, if I'm not invited or if I decline attendance for some other reason, I just drink a bunch of rum and sit by the door waiting for her to get home. But I couldn't do that during this last trip because she had a new roommate moving in, a German girl emigrating from Australia. And Annie thought it best to give that newly Americanizing roomie some space while she was trying to get settled. So when Tuesday night came around and Annie was off to her weekly women's group, I decided to go to a coffee shop where I could spend a few hours trying to catch up on all of the work I'd been so vigorously avoiding. Annie wrote down the addresses of two places she thought I might like, both within walking distance, drew me a map, and then she left. I ate about 5 apples and then I left too. And a couple hours later, I wrote Annie this email. Hi, love. So I went to the place at 1373 Milwaukee. Filter. I walked inside, stood there for about 60 seconds, and then I left. I'd rather spoon the homeless hunchback smoking menthols in front of the Westtown Dental Building. After doing neither, staying a filter or snuggling the hunchback, I walked to the other coffee shop, Ugly Mug. I liked it better, but A, I haven't made up my mind if they're trying too hard with a name. I don't think so, but I'm not yet committed to that answer. B, their internet didn't work, and C, they were closing soon anyway. So I walked up Chicago Avenue until I found the perfect coffee shop at the brown light stop. Dunkin' Donuts, home of the working class. Men with motor oil stains on their necks, 42-year-old women wearing navy blue bus driver pants, exhausted college students who are taking a break from studying but don't want to be seen in their out-of-season Christmas pajamas, the young, not-yet-hardened cop with his shiny new wedding band who spends 5 minutes talking to the cashier about his favorite flavors of ice cream before starting his shift, the trauma surgeon who needs the caffeine to operate through the night just one more night before going home to the wife his wedding band suggests is waiting for him. These are Americans. These are my people. The Milwaukee crowd, by comparison, is just so stunningly sad. After going in and standing in the entryway looking around, making eye contact with everyone in the room, all I could see was a crowd of would-be academics doing their damnedest to conceal their retardation. They're only 25 years old, but their lives are already wasted, irrecoverably lost. The coffee shop was like a quarantine cell for victims of the hipster disease. And it's nice to contain them, I appreciate the segregation, but they should probably all just be euthanized. Committing oneself to hipsterism is worse than devoting oneself to a religion, because hipsters don't give back to the community. They aren't volunteering at homeless shelters, or even animal shelters, or retirement communities. There are no hipster youth groups that travel to broken third world villages to build homes. There's no hipster humanitarian organization, e.g. Denim Cross, that provides millions of dollars in aid after a natural disaster. Hipsterism is a philosophy of inward attention, of self-addiction. And it's worse than a cult, because cult members are ostracized by everyone else in the world. Hipsters aren't, at least as a matter of scale. Their ism hides under a cover of self-expression. It's just as poisonous, but it's socially accepted. It doesn't have to withstand the suppressive force of taboo, so it spreads and it festers unvaccinated. The patrons of Filter get to leave their quarantine as they please. They get to carry on with their lives, which involve nothing but shopping. No community service, no services of any kind, just shopping. Devoting themselves fully to the sport of taste, i.e. Everyone look at my eyewear, my footwear, my unique jewelry. I have better taste than you. I win. They devote their entire lives to this pursuit, this brand of taste. Taste in fashion, wearing the present hour's colors to say they wore them first. Listening to the present hours music to say they heard it first. Their contribution to the world is one of discovery, but they don't actually discover anything. Your favorite band, do they get hired to play gigs? And do they sell albums at those gigs? Yes, that's what I'm listening to in my giant, unique headphones. Then you very clearly didn't discover them. Your favorite hole-in-the-wall restaurant, does it employ people? Yes. Is it in the yellow pages? Yes. Then you didn't discover it. You're just buying their stuff. The economy is enhanced, but the world is worse for it. And it would definitely be improved by the implementation of some very thorough genocidal euthanasia. Okay, that's all I had to say. I should get to work now. I love you, dear. That was the end of my email. I hit send and I moved on. I pulled out my work and joined the ranks of the working class, my fellow Dunkin' Donuts Americans. But now that my work is done, I'm feeling constrained to resume my appraisal of the hipster generation, or the indie crowd, as they were once called in Portland, Oregon. I'm sure both names are already cycling out of use, similar to the progression of retarded to handicapped to disabled to differently abled and sometimes special. In this case, the hipster disease will probably go by a lot more names before settling on its own special euphemism. Maybe alternatively socially equipped, or the consciously avant-garde. The problem with both of these terms is the implication that the lifestyle is somehow counterculture or new or otherwise ahead of its time, and it's clearly not those things. Every generation has already had its own term for this class. Libertines, Young Turks, flappers and jazz agers, cool cats, lounge lizards, beatniks, hippies, punks, new wavers, and so on. On the most fundamental level, they're all the same. There's nothing unique about any of them. It's only a matter of contemporary nomenclature that hipster or indie are the titles that now characterize this group. This group of academically and emotionally underdeveloped people in the first world who have way too much time on their hands and who are desperately trying to pretend otherwise. I'm sure there are new collective nouns forming right now, ready to label this herd of embarrassing selfists. In this essay, though, I'm just going to use indie and hipster interchangeably. By the time you hear it, by the time my voice is given an audience, there's a good chance these terms will sound a lot like Negro, sort of a weird, outdated word that arouses thoughts of insensitivity and ignorance rather than age. But I'm okay with that. What I'm not okay with, obviously, is the hipster himself. And it's not because I lack sufficient exposure to the lifestyle, and thus I can't understand it. I'm from Oregon, one of the hipster hubs of the world. The first bit of non-uterine earth I ever saw was a hospital room in Portland. That's where I was born. But in September of 1980, it wasn't a city littered with hipsters. Drugs? Sure. High school dropouts turned homeless? Check. Entire neighborhoods overrun by skinheads? Plenty. Architecture so dilapidated that shopping was a life-risking experience? You bet. Warehouses as far as the eye could see? Yep, especially in the Pearl. Chain-link fence capital of the world? Definitely seemed that way, after the ash from St. Helens blew off. Possibly accepting the skinheads, I would argue that each of these is better than the current phase of Portland, the indie age. Wherever I go, I'm subjected to bumper stickers, not just on bumpers, but on lampposts, garbage cans, bathroom stalls, the walls of municipal buildings, and trees that say, "Keep Portland weird." This is what I have a problem with. Not the litter, but the contrived life. The degree of effort, the strain, and the struggle to become something one naturally isn't. In this case, citing oneself as weird or crazy is evidence that one is neither. I quote David Sedaris here from Barrel Fever. That's really something I can't stand, when people refer to themselves as crazy. The truly crazy are labeled so on the grounds that they see nothing wrong with their behavior. They forge ahead, lighting fires in public buildings and defecating in frying pans without the slightest notion that they are out of step with the rest of society. That, to me, is crazy. Calling yourself crazy is not crazy, only obnoxious. As for the indie crowd, not just in Portland, but the hipsters of every town who think of themselves as weird, none of you, not one, is weird. There's nothing even a tiny bit unusual about you, let alone unique. You're just trying to accomplish weird, probably because you have no self-worth. You're not good at anything, you have no talents, no skills, no hobbies, and thus no identity. So you try to create one by putting on a show, by purposefully behaving in weird and interesting ways. But that's not how it works. That's not being interesting, and it's certainly not following your own uninhibited identity, which is what indie seems to imply. That's just being pathetic. The spirit of indie is embodied by Jonathan Livingston Seagull. He broke away from the flock, and he did so by devoting his entire existence to self-improvement. He wasn't just putting on a personality show, he really worked at it. It was about accomplishment and the discipline it took to arrive. That is not what hipsters are doing. It's not even close. It's what they should be doing. But instead, they're just telling everyone that they're rebelling against the norms of the normal, putting on that personality show. And then they go watch television or buy things. Apparently, when they're not relaxing to a sitcom, they're purchasing their rebellion with money. I haven't figured out what that's actually rebelling against. To me, it just sounds like shopping. And that's not unique. That breaks away from no flock. It's just struggling to be better than the next person by way of lower middle class consumption. Just purchasing of consumer goods. That's what makes you a hipster. It's not your talent at something. It's not all your hard work and discipline. Hipsters are not sitting at home alone, incessantly perfecting every scale on their violins. They're just buying stuff. And then walking around downtown, showing off their latest purchases. That's all they do. The marketplace thrives on the indie mindset. And when the day is done and that marketplace is closed, the hipster returns home, puts his brand new vinyl on the turntable, and complains about consumerism, all the while struggling to say, I got there first. I heard them first. I wore it first. I used to eat there before they even had chairs. Okay, so what are you doing in life that isn't shopping? What is it that you're actually contributing? What are you giving the world?
My opinions! I'm giving the world my opinions!
Okay, they're bad opinions, though. They're truly terrible. Every one of them is. They're uneducated, they're not well-reasoned or well-spoken, and they're totally unoriginal, and usually inconsistent with the opinions that precede and follow them. You complain endlessly about bottled water, but apparently don't care about consumption in any other direction. It's total nonsense, every word you say. You're just faking an elitist attitude. You pretend to stand for stuff, but it's always something about anti-corporation when you don't even know what that means. You don't understand anything about it. You don't even appear to understand what a corporation is. Likewise, every perspective you offer on politics just reveals a lack of understanding of politics. If you actually cared about the issues you protest so relentlessly, you'd go learn about them, but you don't. And so the reality is, every stance you admit about anything just betrays what it is you're trying so hard to conceal. You're an idiot. You know nothing about the world and how it works. And I understand it's hard work. Learning is. It's not comfortable. It takes an enormous amount of discipline. You have to set aside all of your shopping and your coffee house leisure sessions and your indie music outings and your cigarette breaks. You don't get to watch television or have a Twitter account or post things on Facebook or have phone calls that last longer than 20 seconds. No more arguments about politics or social change or showing up to events in which you protest something. No Sudoku or crossword puzzles or whatever other comfortable wastes of time you think of as brain exercise. And you definitely don't have time to light candles and ponder the meaning of your life. If you do any of these things, I'm sorry, but that automatically demotes you from the possibly intelligent to the totally brain dead. Likewise, if you take longer than 0 seconds to decide on your outfit for the day, demoted forever. Wake up after 8 o'clock a.m. once in your lifetime, demoted forever. Carefully groom your facial hair, demoted forever. Expressed more than 60 seconds of interest in a 9/11 conspiracy theory, demoted forever. Know the names of more than 0 movies that are currently playing in the theaters, demoted forever. Planned out the purchase of elaborate electronic equipment, just like every other crippling activity you engage in, this too guarantees your remaining years will be spent in an occupationally functional but otherwise vegetative state. This may sound like I'm being harsh, but I'm not. Life's being harsh. These aren't my rules, they're life's. So if you want to play the game, that's how you do it. And if you don't want to play by these rules, you should know that life offers no consolation prize. You will finish your remaining years without ever issuing a single sentence anyone wanted to hear, not even your mother. And that's okay, there's nothing wrong with that, but you have to embrace it. You're not allowed to pretend the truth is otherwise. You can't just keep trying to fake it, because that's offensive. Way more offensive than if you're merely counterfeiting money. If you printed a few 20s with your Epson inkjet, wadded them up, squirted them with some hairspray, and ran them through the dryer, you might fool me. I'm not a bank teller. But if you try to trick me into believing you're smart, running your indie mouth about some deeply held position on corporate America, that won't work. It'll take me 5 seconds to recognize you for what you are. A candidate for euthanasia. And unfortunately, this sort of counterfeiting is all the hipsters do. It's a unifying goal of the entire culture. Their greatest ambition is to fool people. But the only people they appear to be fooling are themselves. Indie folk always manage to perceive themselves as sophisticated and believe that they are thinking and living outside of the box. But that's not true at all. They are the box. They're the exact demographic every professional marketer thrives on. People who care about nothing more than purchasing tomorrow's trend. You're the target audience. If you're in your mid-20s and you've never left your home state, if your life is that puny, yes, you will be drawn to find self-esteem somewhere other than experience and intelligence. And if you're not talented at anything, you can't use skills as a foundation of your self-worth. So you have to rely on consumer products that you've purchased. That's how you identify yourself. You buy and then wear suspenders and believe that means you're now living off the grid and that you don't care what others think. But this is beyond silly. No suspenders wearing hipster is alone in his thoughts. No more alone than I am in issuing this criticism. It's not an original observation when I note that the hipster is the greatest consumer there is. And the explanation for that greatness is precisely because they care so much. If they didn't care, they wouldn't shop so hard for suspenders. And that's what makes it so obnoxious when they constantly remind their peers, "I don't care what anyone thinks about me." This cliche is most offensive when it's declared by every indie band in America, i.e. hipsters who learned a few chords but didn't have the discipline to practice their scales. How can any would-be musician tell his fans that he doesn't care what they think and then expect those fans to continue listening. Why don't you just spit in their faces? That would be exactly as demeaning. And what's even more demeaning here is that you're actually lying to them. Obviously, you care a great deal. That's seemingly all you care about. You obviously don't care about the music. Let's not kid ourselves here. If you did, you'd be at home practicing your scales in private. All you care about is what others think. That's why you're telling people you don't. You're trying to create an image of, I'm the kind of person who doesn't care what other people think. Thus, it seems patently obvious that you care deeply, as much as anyone in the world. If you didn't, why go through all the trouble of trying to create that image? You clearly have nothing to say that isn't either a self-inflating lie or brain-dead nonsense. I don't even want to hear your opinion on suspenders. If I want to know about suspenders, I'll ask the farmer, who shops for function rather than fashion. The farmer is indie. He doesn't care what his suspenders look like. He's not putting on a show for other people who also have nothing better to do in life but shop. The farmer's only concern is how well those suspenders perform their function, which is to prevent his pants from limiting his work output. Contrarily, the hipster only cares if the suspenders will make him appear interesting. But as I've already said, the effort to accomplish interesting automatically bars its incidence. The only people in the world who are interesting are those who contribute to society, and hipsters contribute nothing. They aren't out there creating things. Instead, they're basing their personalities on the uniqueness of their shoes, of their cars or bicycles, their Facebook profiles. They don't give the world anything. They just walk around with the Apple products and shoes and blouses that they're ready to explain. When was the last time your life was meaningfully improved by a hipster? Oh, the hipster who did your mother's kidney transplant? Or administered your grandpa's chemotherapy? Or did your root canal? Or the Marine Corps hipster who's currently serving his country? He's on his fourth tour in Afghanistan. That hipster? No, because that's never happened. Hipsters love their cameras, but was it the hipster who invented it or created the technology for digital cameras? No hipster has ever even become a real photographer or taken an important photograph. No one cares about close-up selfies of your face with its unique piercings or deliberately groomed facial hair. Was it a hipster who gave us the Hubble images or took us to the moon or Mars or ever contributed anything to our understanding of the cosmos and our role in it? A single contribution, a single thought. No, nothing. Or how about any mode of travel? They all have some absurdly unlettered position on the internal combustion engine, or hybrid technology, or the electric car. But did they invent any of those? Did they invent diesel engines, or jet engines, or even golf cart motors, sailboats, anything? No. And do you know of a building or a bridge that was designed by a hipster? Was a print press invented by a hipster? How about the compass or electricity, the light bulb, thermometers, calculators, computers? Were any of these influenced by a hipster? No. Hipsters are eager to tell you all about their latest Apple product, but was Steve Jobs a hipster? God no, not even close. By way of hard work and discipline, he invented stuff the world loved and then ruthlessly exploited hipster loyalty to maximize corporate profit. He's the antichrist of indieism, just like everyone else who's ever contributed to the world. When was the last time a hipster invented a vaccination or made any sort of pharmaceutical contribution or contributed to any other branch of medicine? They complain a lot about genetic engineering, but do any of them know biochemistry? No, so they have no idea what they're saying, as evidenced by every sentence they say. And I have news for you. All of it is nonsense. If a hipster starts talking about any branch of science, it's a really good idea to stop listening. Hipsters are always complaining about politics, but when was the last time you saw a hipster win an election or hold some sort of public office? They complain about cops, but no hipster ever becomes one. I don't care how much someone hates law enforcement, each individual police officer performs more functional duties for the community in which he lives than every single hipster in that community combined. Now, if you think that's a little bit extreme, just explain to me how it's wrong, where the accuracy is off. Well, it seems like you're being a little bit too antagonizing. Okay, that's not an argument. I could be out killing people, and you taking note of that doesn't tell me how a hipster is contributing to your community. Well, my friend Sebastian Gabriel Turner works most weekdays at the local record store. Sebastian Gabriel Turner? Does he really have to go by all three of his names? He prefers to. That's how he introduces himself. It's like a self-esteem thing. The more syllables it takes to summon him, the more powerful he feels. No, I just think it's his name is part of his identity. It's part of his personality. Okay, so you're saying he's retarded. He's a retarded 24-year-old who probably lives with his parents, owns multiple umbrellas, and is a functional enough member of society to occasionally perform a job that any 6-year-old could be doing if child labor laws hadn't been invented. That's what you're saying. That's your argument. One does not need to wonder if a hipster somehow contributed to the creation or legislation of child labor laws. It hardly needs to be said that under-the-table employment at a local record store isn't a contribution to society, nor is it a contribution when hipsters get jobs at coffee houses and take more care in grooming their beards or twisting their mustaches than preparing the customer's coffee. It doesn't count as a contribution if a 6-year-old of average intelligence could do a better job. So I stick to my original statement, which I will reiterate. One cop contributes more to his community than every hipster in that community combined. There's no community in America in which this isn't true. Even in the art districts, if all you're looking at is the arts, painting, music, whatever. Yeah, hipsters participate here, but badly. Outside of indie music, which we've already discussed, do you think the John Williamses of the world are hipsters? No one looking to score a movie is going to survey the indie community for possible hires, hoping to pick up some talentless fraud who's too busy shopping and walking around downtown to practice his instrument, or God forbid, study music theory. They're going to hire highly trained studio musicians to play a score that was written by a completely traditional, totally non-counterculture orchestral composer. There's no real indie contribution to music, and the indie attempts at visual arts are even more depressing. Art for art's sake, absent the craft, is not art at all. Far too much sadness to discuss that any further. The only seemingly valid argument against the indiscriminate extermination of all hipsters is an economic one, because hipsters consume an awful lot. It's all they do. And a lot of that consumption is taxable, so they do play a key role in the health of the retail economy. And that's the only reason I know of that they should be allowed to go on living. The only reason a system of forcible euthanasia shouldn't go into effect this afternoon. But as soon as our economy is stable enough to function without them, then it just might be time to close and lock the doors of Filter. CourtneyJensen.com